Roseville, Minnesota again today, April 19th, and we're doing hour 5 of 6 of Ethics for Treasure 2011, and we're going to be talking mostly about some of the advertising rules today. And this program is covering the ethics rules in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. This is one case where Iowa starts to depart quite a bit, because Minnesota and Wisconsin have both adopted the model, the ABA model code of professional conduct, whereas Iowa kept their old advertising rules in place. So they're probably about the most conservative set of rules in the nation in Iowa. But it's kind of a timely topic today because last Friday, April 15th, the Iowa Supreme Court just released an order appointing a committee to study these rules and come up with recommendations to modifications for the rules. And they're supposed to have those proposed rules available by the end of this year. So this part of the program will definitely change next year for those in the Hawkeye stage. But we'll still talk about them anyway. It's kind of an interesting look back at the way the rules were in many other states. Again, the Minnesota and Wisconsin rules are quite a bit more liberal and less allowed. Once again today, during the program, I'll be coming up with a couple of code words for any podcast listeners and to get your certificate of attendance for listening to the Wisconsin podcast. Let me know those code words that I give during the course of the program. Well, before we get to advertising, we left off last time at Rule 6.2, where we talked about pro bono and accepting appointments. Rule 6.3 is a little bit of a continuation of these pro bono kinds of things. And that talks about membership in a legal services organization. This is kind of an exception to some of the conflict of interest rules because a legal services organization might to some extent be adverse to a client's own interests. So this is that's why it's kind of an exception to the conflict of interest. You've got to have a seat there, please, just nice to see you. Thanks for joining us today. And Q&A or course materials, please. Thank you. Well, anyway, the general rule is that despite these conflict of interest kinds of things that might be lurking out there, the general rule is that a lawyer may serve in a leadership capacity in some kind of legal services organization as an officer or director, even though it might be, if it were some other kind of organization, conflict of interest, even though that organization sometimes represents people whose interests are adverse to the lawyer's clients. But there's an exception to that if there is a decision that the lawyer knows raises a conflict of interest, then he should not participate in that decision. So he should abstain or recuse himself if it's kind of a classical conflict of interest under the conflicts rules under Rule 1.7. Or even if it would have a material, if it could have a material effect on the organization's representation of such a client. So as a director or an officer of a legal services corporation, the rules are somewhat more relaxed when it comes to conflicts of interest. Rule 6.4 covers kind of a general subject, that is law reform activities affecting clients' interests. As we learned in one of the earlier rules, that's kind of one of your positive obligations as an attorney, to engage in activities that better the law and improve the law and reform the law. Well, if you make the law better, if you reform the law, your client might be a beneficiary of the law as it is now in its unreformed state. So again, it can be kind of a conflict of interest there. But You are still allowed to serve as an officer, director, or member of an organization that advocates for reform of the law, even if that might affect the interest of your clients. But once again, there's an exception to that. If you know that your client's interests will be materially benefited by the organization's decision, the lawyer must disclose that fact. But you don't need to identify the client. So, for example, you're sitting at the board meeting of the Landlord-Tenant Committee of the Bar Association, and you want, and they're talking about, you know, proposing a change to the landlord-tenant laws, and you represent a lot of tenants, well, or even one tenant. Well, you have to disclose the fact that this reform that you're advocating for will benefit your client, but you don't have to identify who the client is. But you just have to let everybody else participating in that decision know that this is not necessarily just a goodness on your part that you're proposing this, but that it also benefits the client. Rule 6.5 is kind of like the Legal Services Corporation, but it refers to nonprofit limited legal service programs. And what this rule is talking about is like the Bar Association has the Law Day Clinic at the mall. So you have people come in with legal questions and they get to talk to a real lawyer and have the lawyer answer their questions on various legal problems. Well, that has the potential for conflicts of interest because you're not really screening these people coming in. So if you represent the big insurance company and somebody comes in and says, well, I have a problem with this insurance company, and well, that's potentially a conflict of interest because, you know, you might tell the client or tell the person coming to this clinic, well, you really ought to sue that insurance company. They're no good, and you ought to go after them. Well, you might unknowingly be telling somebody to sue your own client, which normally you don't want to do under the conflict of interest rules. First of all, the definition of this is this limited program is where people come in with there's no expectation that there's going to be a continuing attorney-client relationship between the person coming in and the lawyer. In Wisconsin, they have in some language making clear that Bar Association and law school programs fall under this. Well, basically here, the conflict of interest rules apply only if the lawyer knows about the conflict of interest. If the client just comes in and says, I have this problem with my insurance company, what should I do? Then you can say, sue them, even though you're telling them to sue your client. But if you represent the Acme Insurance Company and the person comes in and says, I have this problem with the Acme Insurance Company, well, then it's a conflict of interest. You say, well, you know, I can't give you advice. So, you know, go talk to one of these other lawyers over here. So, again, the conflicts will still apply in those situations, but only if it's knowing. And likewise, Rule 1.10, which talks about imputed conflicts of interest. You know, if your partner has a conflict of interest, are you barred from the case as well, too? And once again, the rule is that that's only if it's knowing. That brings us to our first code word that I better not forget. Wisconsin has language that this applies to law schools. So our first code word for this segment is law schools. LAWSCHOOLS for our podcast listeners. That's your first code word today. Well, moving on, that wraps up the pro bono kinds of rules. And we move on to what we're going to be covering for most of the hour today. And that is various things surrounding communications with the general public, and advertising, those kinds of things, which are generally under Rule 7.1, 7.2, etc. Well, when we get to Rule 7.2, which talks about advertising, there, once again, that's where the states depart, Iowa departs from what Minnesota and Wisconsin do. But the general rule of 7.1, talking not about advertising, but just general communications with the general public, that's the same in all three states. And Rule 7.1 talks about communications concerning a lawyer's service. Well, in all three states, and probably 47 other states, a lawyer is prohibited from making false or misleading communications about yourself or about your services. So, can't say you graduated from the top of your class from Harvard unless you really did. I mean, that kind of makes sense. And once again, you can't be misleading either. You can't, instead of, in addition to outright falsehood, you have to be clear in what you say, and you can't omit facts necessary to make the statement which corrected from being false or misleading. Okay, that's the rule in all three states. Iowa and Wisconsin move on a little bit and add more to it. Iowa, this one, I don't know exactly how you identify this, but in Iowa, a lawyer may not communicate with the public using statements that are unverifiable. So you can't say, I'm the best DWI lawyer in Des Moines, because, you know, that's not really verifiable, because what does best mean? So in Iowa, and once again, we're going to see how these Iowa rules are probably going to be changing in the next year or so, but it's quite a bit more limited. You have to, when you're communicating with the public, not just in advertising, but, you know, when you're interviewed on WHO radio or whatever, you have to give statements that are verifiable. You can't just, talk in these fluffy terms. Also, the advertising which is permitted cannot rely on emotional appeal. And it cannot contain any statement or claim relating to the quality of the lawyer's services. So once again, I'm the best lawyer in Iowa. In addition to being unverifiable, that relates to the quality of your services. And you're not allowed to do that. And once again, that's the current law in Iowa. Wisconsin also adds a little bit to the definition. You can't make a communication that gives unjustified expectations about results. On hand, you can't say that you're going to violate the rules or violate the law. So you probably shouldn't do that in any other state, but Wisconsin has that specifically. You can't say, come to me, I have an in with the judge, and a little bit of casual chit-chat. You can't imply or state that you're going to do things that violate the law, and you can't give unjustified expectations. No matter how drunk you are, I'll get you off on your DWI. You can't do that. Next one is kind of already covered, but you can't compare your services with other lawyers unless it can be factually sustained. So you have to, before you make statements about how good you are, it has to be something where you can point to some actual facts. I have won more DWI cases than anybody else in Madison. You have to have the facts to back that up. And probably can't just say, I'm the best lawyer in James County, because you need to have some facts to back up that statement. You can't have paid testimonials unless it says the payment has been made. So if you have celebrity endorsements, you have to identify that fact. And if you have actors portraying your clients on TV, you have to identify that these are not real clients. These are just actors. So those are kind of the general rules covering communication with the public. And then we move on to the rules specifically talking about advertising. And, you know, it's probably been about the last 30 years ago, prior to that, advertising and lawyers used to be almost a dirty word. You know, lawyers didn't advertise. And that's slowly been changing. Well, it's been changing kind of fast because lawyers clearly do advertise these days, at least in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and maybe starting next year in Iowa. The rules governing advertising do differ than those states, and there are rules covering it. And if you are going to advertise at all, you have to follow the rules. First of all, the other general rules about communication with the general public, Rule 7.1 and 7.3, apply to advertising, but there are also specific rules. And once again, right now we're talking about Minnesota and Wisconsin. The general rule is kind of that you can't advertise, because this rule starts with a lawyer may not give anything of value to anyone to recommend his services, with the following exceptions. So the general rule is you can't pay somebody to recommend you. Well, that's what advertising is. So if you do some advertising that's not permitted, that's the rule you're violating. You paid somebody to recommend your services. You paid the radio station, or you paid the billboard company, or you paid the newspaper. But the first exception to that is if it's a permitted advertisement under the rest of the rule, then you can pay for the advertisement. But that's only for advertisements. You can't pay the news reporter to write a good story about you, because that's probably not an advertisement. So if you bribe reporters, that would probably be the rule that you're violating. Another kind of exception to that is, we'll talk later about legal service plans and whether they're permitted. The lawyer referral service, that's what they do. You know, people call up and say, I need a probate lawyer in Hennepin County. And they say, well, here's the name of one. Well, you paid for that. So that's the permitted exception, as long as it fits the other rules. And that kind of referral service must be a nonprofit one. So that's talking about the Bar Association referral service. Or in other ways, has to be approved. It's put in here as an exception. We talked previously about buying another attorney's practice, you know, buying his law practice. Well, part of what you're paying for is having him say, I don't practice law anymore, call the new guy. So you're permitted to do that. That's not a violation of this rule, even though technically money is changing hands for a recommendation. If you are in an agreement with another lawyer or another professional, a doctor or a chiropractor, I will refer clients to you and you will refer clients to me. That might be permitted, but it has to be under these rules. So it can either be another lawyer or it could be an accountant, for example, in any kind of mutual referral program. But these rules, first of all, it has to be otherwise permitted, there's often a potential for violating other rules or something like that. But it can't be an exclusive agreement. You can say, I will refer clients to you, doctor, if you refer clients to me. But you can't say, I will refer patients to you and no other doctor, and you will refer clients to me and no other lawyer. That would not be permitted. Because both you and the doctor, need to use some professional judgment, because maybe this guy walks in and, he should go to a different professional. And the client has to be aware of the existence and the nature of that kind of an agreement. It can't be a secret agreement. Wisconsin adds a couple more to that, which are probably already covered. So Wisconsin has a tendency to kind of nail down things a little bit tighter. But Wisconsin adds that there can't be any interference with your independence or with the attorney-client relationship. You can't, if you are an independent professional, as we, talked about under, the first part of the rule. So if it's something that disagreement forces you to send people someplace that you just don't feel right about that referral, well, that interferes with your independence, that interferes with the attorney-client relationship. So that wouldn't be permissible in Wisconsin. And it probably wouldn't be anywhere else, because otherwise other rules say that you have to maintain your independence. And confidential information has to be protected. So if the client tells you information that you are not allowed to disclose to other parties, Wisconsin puts right in this rule that you can't give that confidential information to the chiropractor or to the other lawyer without your client's consent. Again, that's probably the rule in Minnesota as well, because that rule does not have an exception. The rule about client confidentiality does not say, except if you're referring it to a doctor or to another lawyer. So I think that's probably the rule in every state. And in Minnesota and Wisconsin and probably close to 40 other states, the advertisement has to contain the name of at least one lawyer or law firm who is responsible for the advertisement. So in fact, if you that voiceover guy at the end of lawyer commercials always often says that the name was not in there, this advertisement paid for by attorney so-and-so who's responsible for his content. That's why that's in there. So, again, Minnesota and Iowa and most of the states that have adopted the model rules are pretty wide open on what's allowed for advertising. We talked about, can't be false or misleading, but beyond that, beyond a few specifics here, it is now pretty wide open in most states. Well, Iowa is an exception to that, because when Iowa adopted the rules of professional conduct in 2005, this is the one section of the rules that they did not adopt, and they just recodified their existing advertising rules. So it probably makes Iowa pretty much the most conservative in the nation, or one of the most, as far as what advertising is permitted. Because not a lot is permitted. However, this is probably about to change, because just last Friday, April 15th, the Iowa Supreme Court issued an order appointing a committee to study these rules and to propose recommended rules. And they asked that committee to come up with those proposed rules by December 31st. And interestingly, one of the things that they noted in that order was that the committee included attorneys in border areas. So it probably is kind of an interesting situation, Mason City or Council Bluffs or something, where they're in a TV and radio market in another state, where they're getting all this lawyer advertising, and they're pretty restrained. And especially, if it's kind of a federal issue. In Council Bluffs, the attorney in Omaha can advertise, I do social security disability and I do it well or whatever. And the lawyer in Council Bluffs is not allowed to have his own advertisement. And the Nebraska lawyer can probably take that federal case, even if he's not admitted in Iowa. That is kind of an interesting twist to it, their rules being different. So it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, and there will be some proposed rules before the end of the year. In the meantime, Iowa attorneys are bound by these pretty restrictive rules. Iowa starts out by saying what is not advertising. So a few things are permitted, even though they are subject to Rule 7.1, he can't be false or misleading, but they're not subject to the advertising rules. So the following are not advertising. First of all, communications or solicitations between lawyers. So if you do legal research or you do appeals or you do some narrow area of the law, you can advertise all you want to other lawyers, saying, I can take on your appeals or I can do your research for you. That's outside of the definition of advertising. You can communicate with your clients, and you can communicate with your former clients if you don't know their former clients. So if you have a client and you think he's your client, you say, I can draft your will for $500. If you believe that the attorney-client relationship still exists, then it doesn't count as advertising. But if you know that they're former clients, you know that that representation is over, then that would be an advertisement. That would be governed by these restrictive rules. You can reply to requests for information by a member of the public. So you can't necessarily take out an advertisement in the newspaper or on the radio, or send out direct mailings, but if a client asks you for information, you can answer their question and send them the information that they requested. And interestingly, Iowa says that clicking on a hyperlink on a web page constitutes asking for information. So having a website is interesting, where you're probably a little bit more wide open than many other kinds of advertising. Iowa has a rule that we'll talk about in a little bit about what you're allowed to include in your biography, and that you're required to include some biographical information in your advertising. And even those kinds of non-advertising, those rules still apply. Well, so what advertising is allowed? Well, Iowa breaks it down into different categories. First of all, you're allowed to be listed in the yellow pages, but not necessarily with a flashy ad or whatever. You can be listed in the phone book or in a city directory, and you can have your name, address, telephone number, and you can say that you're an attorney. But that's kind of it. You can be in the alphabetical part, say your address, so you can probably be listed under West Des Moines instead of just Des Moines, it's pretty limited what you can say other than that. And that's all that can be listed, but you can be in the residential section of the phone book, the business section of the phone book, and the classified section of the phone book. And you have to be under the heading of lawyers or attorneys. So you can't say great lawyers or whatever. You have to use those words for the actual heading. There is an allowance for fields of practice. So if I'm a criminal defense attorney or I'm a bankruptcy attorney, that permits, attorneys, I'm a bankruptcy, attorneys, I'm a criminal. But even there are restrictions on what category you're allowed to put yourself into, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Any advertising, any other advertising, there are certain, if you have a box ad, what they call it, with that information. So not just your name, but a little bit bigger with a box around it. You're allowed to do that, but there are certain key disclosures we'll talk about that have to be in your permitted advertising. So your listing in the phone book doesn't have to have these key disclosures, but if you have a little bit bigger ad in the yellow pages, that needs certain key disclosures too. And those rules also apply to law firms. So if you you are allowed to have another listing under the firm name in addition to the individual name. Now the phone book, that's kind of the only the really, traditionally, that's kind of the only advertising that lawyers were allowed to do until advertising opened up a little bit more. That's still allowed in Iowa. Broadcast advertisements. Okay, yes, you can advertise on TV or on the radio, but it's pretty limited. These ads are not going to be too flashy. You are permitted to communicate by radio, TV, or other electronic media, but the information in your ad, first of all, has to be articulated only by a single non-dramatic voice. So if your announcer is too dramatic, you know, call a lawyer, Clem. Well, that's probably too dramatic, you know. So it has to be a single non-dramatic voice. So when you call a fatality agency, you have to answer somebody who's non-dramatic. It can't be your voice, though, no matter how non-dramatic you are. You know, you can't say, I am attorney John Smith, and any other non-dramatic person is permitted. I guess they figure lawyers are too dramatic or something. And there can be no other background sound. So just that single non-dramatic voice, no music, no sound effects, no other thing. You can put that ad on TV, except there basically all you're allowed to do is have the radio ad with the text of the radio ad scrolling by. You can't have any pictures or anything. No visual display is allowed except in print as articulated by the announcer. Non-dramatically, I must say. And we'll talk about these fee disclosures. They have to be added in those, included in those ads as well. So probably not a lot of broadcast advertising in Iowa. At least whatever there is non-dramatic. Preserving advertising. If you do any advertising in Iowa, you do have to keep copies of everything. In newspapers, phone books. So if you have a listing in the phone book, you have to save your own old phone books, I guess. You have to keep a tape of any radio or TV ad and a copy of anything placed on the internet. You have to maintain those. And I think, in 3 years, you have to maintain that information. So you have to, I guess you have to save your old phone books or at least a copy of the proof if you bought a box ad or something. That's where you can advertise. What you can say in your advertisement. Well, it's somewhat limited. At least until December 31st when those new rules are proposed. First of all, whatever you say, you have to do it in a dignified style. Non-dramatic, mind you, but dignified. You can say your name, address, phone, internet address, and you can say that you're a lawyer. You can say that you're a lawyer, attorney, JD, law firm, words similar to that. You can describe your practice, but as we will see, there are some limitations on that. You can use the words general practice, if that's what you do, or you can say general practice including but not limited to, or you can say that you practice in a particular field of law or specialize in a particular field. But if you do say that you specialize in a certain field, Rule 7.4 applies because there are some specific requirements on if you're going to say I'm a DWI lawyer. First of all, there are some specific requirements on how that's identified and how you put it in your ad. You can say in your ad your date and place of birth. So I was born here in Iowa. Date and place of admission to the bar of this state and federal court. So admitted to the bar in 1989. Schools attended. I graduated from the University of Iowa with scholastic distinctions. I was on the Law Review. I was magna cum laude. Public or quasi-public offices. I'm a former legislator. I'm a member of the city council. You can state your military service. Legal authorships. You can say, I wrote Clem on DWI. Legal teaching positions. If you if you talk a lot of school boards, you can say that. Membership offices and section and committee assignments of bar associations. I was on the bar association probate committee last year. Membership and offices in legal fraternities and legal societies, kind of the same. Technical and professional licenses. So if you're something else in addition to an attorney, you can identify that. I'm also a PE, or I'm also a chiropractor, or I'm also an accountant or CPA. You can add that to your head. Memberships in scientific, technical, and professional associations and societies. So, member, Iowa Bar Association. And foreign language ability. Se habla español. You can put that in your head. But again, those 14 items are the list of permitted content. So those 14 things are what you can say in your act. You can't say anything that's not on that list. So it's kind of restricted. Well, okay, in communication of fee information, there is a certain way that you can talk about fees in your ad. First of all, if you do it, no matter how you do it, it must be done in a dignified style. Nothing undignified is permitted in Iowa attorney advertising. And here's what you're allowed to communicate. You can communicate your fee for an initial consultation, So no charge for initial consultation, or $50 for initial consultation. The availability of a fee schedule and or an estimate. So, a fee schedule available on request, or estimates available on request. The contingent fee rates, we get no fee unless you recover and we get 1/3 if that or whatever, that's probably permitted. But when you say that, you can't just say that you have to give some of these further disclosures. You have to say whether that's computed before or after expenses. And you also have to say, but if you lose, you might be liable for some of the costs. So even if you say, there's no fee unless we recover, you also have to say that but if you lose, you might be liable for the other side's court costs. Fixed fees or range of fees for specific services. So it's permitted to say, simple will, $499 or whatever, or, will, $500 to $1,000. You're allowed to state what your hourly rate is, and you can say whether you take credit cards. So, Visa, MasterCard, accepted. There are certain disclosures that are listed in the rule that also have to be included. And those have to be, no fine print when it comes to talking about your fees. Because the required disclosures must be in print as large as the largest type used to discuss fees. So if you have giant, type saying, will $399, well then these required disclosures have to be in type case of that same size. And if you put them, first of all, if you have fees listed in your advertising, that's generally, you're required to include, to be bound by that fee for 90 days. So you can say, will's $399, and then, hyperinflation takes over, well, you can't raise your rate for 90 days. And if you, it's probably not a good idea, but if you put your fees in the phone book, in the directory, phone book, then you're bound until the next issue of the phone book comes out. So if you put fees in the yellow pages, you're probably stuck with them for a year. So be careful before you start talking about fees in the yellow pages. Okay, that's talking about classical advertising. Then, once again, we're still in Iowa, but there are some other kinds of things that really don't come under the heading of advertising, but they are, communicating with potential clients. And specifically talking about instituting litigation, if any kind of communication you make with a person suggesting that instituting litigation, you want to sue, it must also disclose in that communication that, first of all, you can't do it just to coerce or harass another person, that might be illegal, and you might be liable for malicious prosecution. So it might not even be allowed in the first place, but if it is allowed to talk to some third party about instituting any kind of litigation, you have to include these warnings there that you're getting in trouble if you harass them or coerce them or engage in malicious prosecution. Well, Iowa, like the other states, does permit referral organizations. So the County Bar Association can have a lawyer referral line. But there are limitations on that. First of all, once again, they must be dignified. When that organization advertises, they can use dignified commercial publicity. And it doesn't need to describe the lawyers by name, but it says, this lawyer referral service, we can refer you to lawyers in your area. Okay, there are then a few exceptions that the following, once again, really do not qualify as advertising, or at least these following activities are permitted. You can make political advertisements. So, and you can mention that you're a lawyer if that's germane to the ad, which probably is. If you're an attorney, that's probably germane if you're running for office. So if you're running for legislature or school board, in your vote for me for school board ad, you're allowed to say that I'm a lawyer, so vote for me for that reason. That's permitted. And public notices. If you have to print a notice, you're serving somebody by publication, well, your name and address has to be in that, and that is called advertising. The classified advertising of maybe a legal newspaper. You're allowed to put your name and address on that, but your purpose can't be for protecting clients, or attracting potential clients. So you put this ad in, saying, to John Smith, you are hereby summoned, pick up a copy of the complaint at the courthouse. And by the way, I can do this for other clients too. You can't have something like that. But legal notices that you're required to publish, you can do it. Routine reports of organizations which the lawyer serves as a director or an officer. So if you're if you're the director of a nonprofit organization, their material can say, our director is his lawyer. Your legal documents. That was kind of the other classical way of advertising. Back in the day, you drafted a will for somebody, and on the front of the will said, this document drafted by attorney John Smith. Well, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to put your name on the documents you draft. In legal texts and publications, and in dignified advertisements for them. So if you're Prosser and you write Prosser on torts, you're allowed to advertise your book and mention that you're a lawyer. But you, once again, have to be dignified. Certain communications permitted by a legal assistance organization. And you can't compensate press or media members for professional publicity. So, you can't bribe reporters to say, can you mention my name in this article? That's specifically prohibited in Iowa. Now, again, these rules do sound a little bit old-fashioned, but as far as I can tell, they're pretty much still routinely enforced. Now, Mr. Bjorklund, in the first case, there was more to that case than just the advertising issues. He was, I think he was a DWI lawyer, and he's not allowed to advertise, but he wrote a book, on how to beat DWI. This book was published, and the advertisement said, how to beat DWIs by Mr. Bjorklund, the best DWI lawyer in Iowa. And the Supreme Court took a look at that and said, that looks like advertising. And he said, I can't help it. I wrote this book, and the
I can't help it that the publisher printed it bad. Well, that's probably what he shouldn't have said, because they investigated a little bit further, as they are sometimes want to do. And it turns out the publisher just happened to be at the same address as his law office. So that's probably the reason he really got his license revoked. The First Amendment issues that, understandably are lurking out there, the Iowa Supreme Court hasn't been too keen about overruling any of these rules on First Amendment grounds. As far as I know, none of those have gone to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the most recent cases talking about them are 2001, talking about the First Amendment implications. So as of today, that's pretty much the state of the law in Iowa. But once again, that is going to be changing in the next few months. So even for those of us who are not admitted in Iowa, it's kind of an interesting look at the way the rules used to be in a lot of other states. But we're probably going to be seeing Iowa move away from those a little bit. Well, Rule 7.3 is not exactly what you might think of as advertising, but it's direct contact with prospective clients. Activities that you maybe don't think of as advertising per se, but you're talking with people in the hopes that they become a client. And here, once again, Minnesota and Wisconsin have one rule, and Iowa has a little bit different rule. First of all, talking first of all Minnesota and Iowa, the first rule is you can't solicit potential clients by telephone or in person in general. You might be able to mail out something to potential clients, but the rules are a lot more restrictive when it comes to personal contact or telephone contact. So you probably just can't make cold calls to potential clients. There are the exceptions to that. First of all, if the person you're contacting is a lawyer, then it's okay. Even if it's a personal, not necessarily a professional thing. So, if you call up another lawyer and say, "Can I draft a will for you?" Or ask in person, that's probably okay. Also, there's an exception if your family, if it's a prior professional relationship, so a former client basically, or a close personal relationship. And I know the question came up last time, well, what about my Facebook friend? That's probably not a close personal relationship. I was at another CLE yesterday, and the guy sitting next to me was Norm Coleman. And so I said, "Oh, hi, I'm one of your Facebook friends." And he said, "Well, yeah, I knew the first 1,000 first place. I think I'm friend number 9,000 or something." So if you have 9,000 friends on Facebook, you probably can't send something to all 9,000 of them. But if you have 50 of your close personal friends, then probably you can solicit them. In general, in-person or live telephone contact is prohibited, with those exceptions. Other methods, written, recorded, electronic, in-person, or telephone, written, recorded, or electronic are probably permitted, but any kind of contact you can't make if the person has made known a desire not to be solicited. So they say, don't call me anymore. I don't want to hear from you. You have to abide by that. And you can't use coercion, duress, or harassment. So even if communication is permitted, you can't do any of those things. And in Wisconsin, there's also another prohibition. You can't contact potential clients if you know or reasonably should know that their physical, emotional, or mental state makes it unlikely that the person would exercise reasonable judgment in employing a lawyer. I suspect that would come under the more general rules in some of the other states, but Wisconsin has that in. So, for example, I suppose what it means you probably can't do is, go down to the courthouse and find the guardianship petitions that have been filed by, seeking appointment of guardians of vulnerable adults or something, and contacting these vulnerable adults and saying, "Can I represent you to, you know, keep your greedy relatives from taking your money?" That probably would not be permitted. Now, if you are sending any kind of, if you're soliciting a potential client, and you know that the person is in need of services in a particular matter, so in other words, you go down to the jail on Monday morning and get the names of everybody who's been arrested for DWI all weekend, and send out an advertisement saying that you do DWIs. If you send that out to them, the envelope has to have the word advertising material on the outside envelope. Unless it's a lawyer. You know, so if you go down to the courthouse and get the names of all the lawyers who were arrested for DWI this weekend, you don't have to print that on the envelope. And once again, family, close personal relationships. So if you don't have to say advertising material when you're talking to your relatives. In Wisconsin, anything that you send out in that kind of situation, so, bankruptcy solicitations to people who just had, judgments against them by Visa or DWI arrest this weekend. In Wisconsin, you have to file a copy of that with the Office of Lawyer Regulation. And once again, prepaid or group legal service plans are permitted, even though they might trample those rules just slightly. This is kind of an exception to those rules. It was an otherwise permitted prepaid legal service program. And Wisconsin, this is probably the one thing Wisconsin tends to do, in addition to adding a little bit more specificity, is sometimes they kind of adopt the general rules of like trusts and estates, as we've seen in some of the other parts. They move those into the rules of professional conduct. So this is probably governed by the substantive law in most other states. But in Wisconsin, in the rules of professional conduct, if you draft a will or a trust agreement or something like that, you can't require or imply that your services be used in relation to that document. So the will can't say, I appoint my son to be the executor of my estate, and I direct my son to hire Attorney Clem to handle the estate. You can't do that. Although I guess you could put another lawyer's name in there under that rule. Well, once again, Iowa is somewhat more conservative on solicitation of potential clients, and in general, it's not allowed. It does not allow in-person, live telephone, or real-time electronic contact. It just kind of adds to the in-person and telephone. You can't chat with them online, saying, "I hear you were picked up for DWI, give me a call." Although email probably comes under the written part of it. Minnesota, Wisconsin say you can't solicit clients for the purpose of monetary gain on your part. Iowa doesn't even have that, so even if you're just trying to be helpful, you can't do it. In Iowa, direct mail or email to groups known to possibly need specific legal services. So in other words, the letter going out to the people who were arrested for DWI this weekend. If you do that, and it complies with the other rules, you have to keep a copy for 3 years, like your other advertising, and you must simultaneously file a copy with the Supreme Court Disciplinary Board along with an affidavit, and the rule specifies what has to go into that affidavit. Things that go to the general public, even if you don't know that they are in need of that particular service, that rule might still apply. So you have to watch out for that. And Iowa on the envelope, you have to use the word advertisement only. I think that's a little bit different. I think it has to be in capital letters. In Minnesota and Wisconsin, you say advertising material. In Iowa, you say advertisement only. So those are the rules governing that in Iowa. Well, as we mentioned before, you can, in all states, you're allowed to communicate your field of practice. Here, Iowa is just a little bit more restrictive in how you can do that. But the same general rules apply. But first of all, Minnesota, Rule 7.4, talking about communication of your field of practice. The general rule is that you may do that. You can say that you do DWIs or wills or whatever you do. So you're generally allowed to do that, but there are some rules that govern it. In all the states, you can, if you're admitted to practice patent law, you're allowed to say that you're a patent lawyer if you're admitted to the patent office. If you're an admiralty lawyer, you can put the word admiralty in your after your name, or call yourself a proctor in admiralty, which is what a lawyer is called when you're in the admiralty court. If you say that you're you can say that you're certified in a particular field or that you're a specialist in a particular field, but you really have to be. The name of the organization that certifies you has to be in there. So if you say, I'm a certified trial specialist by the Minnesota Bar Association, you're allowed to put that in there. But you can't just say certified trial specialist. You have to say who certified you. There's the second requirement basically is, you know, who is allowed to do that certification. And here the two states are a little bit different. In Wisconsin, the groups, it has to be either the APA or an organization approved by the state boards that covers lawyer specialization. I can't think of the name of it right now. Minnesota, there's kind of a safe harbor provision because there is a Minnesota Board of Legal Certification. So on their list of proper certifying organizations, you know, they will have the, you know, the ABA of the Minnesota Bar Association. If you're on that list, then you're okay. If you're certified by, you know, maybe if you're certified by an organization in another state or something that's not on that list, then you have to say that it's not, yes, I'm certified by the, as a trial specialist by the Tennessee Bar Association, but that's not accredited by the Minnesota Board of Legal Certification. So you have to communicate that. In Iowa, the rules are actually pretty similar, but they're kind of going into a little bit more detail. Yes, you are allowed to communicate that you practice in a certain field, but there's a list of categories. 20, 30, I don't remember exactly how many. So you have to use that category, you have to use those words to describe yourself. And if you're in some new field of law that's not on that list, you know, if you're in robotics law and that's not on the list yet, there's a procedure or a petition to have that added to the list. But you have to go by reference to that official list, which is found in Rule 7.4. Once again, if you're admitted in the patent office, then you're allowed to say so. If you're engaged in admiralty practice in Iowa, that's the going state. Here, obviously, they did copy the model rule because there are probably not too many admiralty lawyers in the state of Iowa. But if you are one of them, you're allowed to say that you engage in admiralty or that you're a proctor in admiralty. I was at one CLE one time, and one of the attorneys there proudly said that he had an admiralty case in Iowa because there was a some boat was traveling from across the country, and they hadn't paid for it, so this boat was seized as it traveled Interstate 80 to Iowa. They don't have high seas, but it's possible for a ship to be passing through Iowa. So this the Iowa District Court got one of its rare admiralty cases.
So it could happen, but it's not just hypothetical that it's in their role. So that guy can now say that he's a proctor and admiralty, and he's allowed to do that under the rules.
And once again, if you say that you're certified or specialist, you have to really be, and you have to identify the name of your certifying organization, and that organization has to be approved by the proper board in Iowa. So that's pretty much the same as the Minnesota rule. And Iowa's a little bit more restrictive in how you word things. And you have to, there's even filing requirements that you have to report to the Board of Continuing Legal Education. So if you're in Iowa and you do communicate that you specialize in a particular field, you have to follow those rules. That brings us almost to 1 hour. I said I was going to say a second code word, and our second code word for the podcast, listeners, will be where we start next time. We'll be talking about letterheads. When we begin hour six. So we'll make that our code word, letterhead. Singular or plural, whichever way you want to do it. Letterhead will be our second and final code word for part five. So at this point, we'll open it up for live questions. If you are listening to the podcast, if you have any questions, please email them to me, pem.law@usa.net, and I will respond within the time allowed by the rules. But are there any questions here today? Well, if not, thank you for joining me, and I look forward to seeing most of you next week.